Christian Parenting.
Welcome to the Living Wholehearted Podcast. We are Jeff and Tara Mattson, a husband and wife team who is shrinking the integrity gap in our own lives and helping others do the same. I'm a leadership and organizational development coach, and Tara is a licensed marriage and family therapist.
We believe that if you have a following, you are a leader, and how you lead matters. Whether you are leading in the home, work, or community, we are bringing you biblical, clinical, and relational wisdom to help you in every relationship that matters most to you. None of us do this perfectly, but we are leaning into the reality of our humanity and profound wisdom of grace. Last week, we talked about marriage in light of Valentine's. This week, we're going to talk about parenting girls. Let's just start with that. Parenting girls. What's that like for you, Jeff?
It's great. It's great. These girls are something else. And in fact, I remember praying first when I knew that when we were pregnant, we were going to be surprised by the gender. I prayed that God would give me a girl first. Aww. Not that I didn't want a boy. Nothing wrong with that. My desire of my heart was is to have a daughter, and maybe it would be easier to kind of learn how to be a dad and stuff. I don't know, but hey, no regrets. And there's nothing against having boys or whatever at all. I love, obviously, a lot of the boys in our community, parents have, friends of ours have, are awesome. But, I'm all about being a girl dad and having daddy's girls.
I love it. The daddy girl thing. I wanted four boys. So ironically, I have two girls. So it wasn't in the plan, but
Did you get enough testosterone from me? Oh. Did I meet that need? Four boys in one package.
Oh, you're funny. You're funny, honey. I love it. Yes. Plenty of testosterone. Thank you very much. In fact, you're often like a big brother for these girls now that they're teenagers. It's funny. So let's tell a little bit. We do have a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old. They're girls. We started something called Courageous Girls. You might hear us talk about it every once in a while. That is now with moms and daughters where they're meeting in small groups around the world. There's groups all over. You can go to mycourageousgirls.com. But part of that has been encouraging dads too. Mm-hmm. And we do that more in the backdrop of how to help dads really have these conversations with their daughters after mom is leading the way.
Mom is leading the way with her voice.
With her voice. But dads and modeling being a female.
And dads are leading the way also with their voice. And no one can replace either voice. That's where it's so critical and it's such an important piece to thank God for his design. Now, if you're single parenting, my gosh, it's a recognition of how challenging it is that you're trying to play both roles. And there's wisdom in how to do that. And we understand that struggle.
And we talk a little bit on the earlier podcast with Monica Swanson and Dave Swanson. If you want to check that out, we talk a little bit more about raising amazing kids. They have four boys. So you can learn a little bit about being a parent of boys. So we want to talk about girls today,
okay.
The unique piece.
Yeah.
And we're going to just share with you, these are general play therapy principles that are really a great foundation for raising any child, but then we'll tweak it a little bit as we talk about the unique bent for girls.
Because at Living Wholehearted, we're all about integrating biblical, clinical, and relational wisdom. So here comes some clinical.
All right. So first, these are Dr. Gary Landris' tips on play therapy.
Great guy.
And he's really a foundational place, a believer who was foundational in setting the tone for play therapy therapists across the world, actually.
Yeah.
And so one of the first principles is be the thermostat, not the thermometer. You probably have heard that or maybe referenced that in other places. But this idea of learning how to not react to our children's, their emotions and their needs, and to be that thermostat who sets the temperature in your home. So whether we're talking about a 2, 3, 4-year-old girl, or we're talking about a 15-year-old girl, how do we stay as the thermostat? So speak to that and some of the things that you would say would be important or we have integrated or we're teaching others to integrate, and then I'll add my voice.
Yeah. Well, I'm just, I think about first and foremost a relationship with God and how he does that for us, how he is a thermostat for us. He takes all of our complaining, our fears, our anxieties, our hopes, our dreams, our joys, our passions, all this stuff, and he isn't swayed by it, right? I oftentimes think that God has broad shoulders, which I'm so thankful for. And as a dad, I think about that a lot, actually, that he does this for me. And because he's done this for me, I glean that strength to be able to try to do this for my girls. Now, I don't do it perfectly. He does it perfectly. But I'm giving it my best shot, and I'm learning to grow in that to be able to do it more and more. But that's my source. That's my number one focus. I cannot even try if I'm not actually first experiencing this and really in touch with what he's, the grace and the thermostat that he is for me, right? The thermostat that he is for you and how I depend on him to be that thermostat for you when I can't meet that same need. So yeah, that's my starting point. But what it looks like with our daughters then is that, you know, we've had the benefit. This is a huge benefit. I thank God for this, of driving our kids to school every day of their lives. Basically we were fortunate to be able to have the choice to do that as opposed to having them have to be on the bus or other sources of scenarios. But that time has given us an extra time with them. All, if we were to add all that up, I bet it would be massive amounts of hours.
We would have been homeschoolers, I think, if we added it all up.
Yeah, but it's pretty special if you were to add it all up to think that we had that extra time with them. And so in the comings and goings, before they go to school and after school, here's one of the scenarios. After school, our oldest, she doesn't want to talk because she just had school and she is lower on the verbal processing space and more recharges and needs that time. Totally get it. So mindful of that. But our youngest is the opposite. When she's tired, she actually gets chatty.
Chatty, chatty.
and so to be the thermostat is to know, okay, having healthy understanding of what one needs and how the other needs another thing. And, you know, so you'll get from one person where I really want to know about our oldest day. How's your day? Like, oh, that's right. Now's not the time to ask that or talk about it. So, but I'm looking forward to hearing more about what you want to share about your day. And after you come home and get your show and your snack, you know, I know that we're going to have some good times to connect now after you get your homework done. And homework is big for her. And if I were to be the thermometer in that moment, my needs might begin to just arise like, man, you don't want to talk to me? Like, okay, I guess we're not close. And all of a sudden I'm up and down temperature wise. And then that impacts her. And now we're both in a space where the temperature's way higher than we ever thought it would be or needed to be. Mm-hmm. So being the thermostat is attuning to the needs of your kids, regulating your own needs in that moment. And then, learning to step into it in the way that makes sense.
Yeah. You're talking about being the mature one, right? Like we're actually the adult, even though technically we're an adult, but sometimes we don't act like the adult because we take it personal.
Right.
We think it's about us, or we think, what's wrong with my kid? Why can't I connect? And so you're saying, get to know who your daughters are.
Yeah.
It's not all just about being a girl. Some things get swept under being female rather than it being actually about wiring. So you talked a little bit about their unique wiring, get to know what works for them, what doesn't, then honoring that, and then regulating your own need to want to verbally process or to check in on their life. I love that. And for me, I would say it's also, I'm a verbal processor. And so recognizing that it's easy for moms, certain moms, to talk to our daughters as if they're our friends. Mm. And so one of those is very key for being the thermostat, not the thermometer. It's just because your daughter wants to listen to you, or maybe she's, you know, wanting to like empathize or she's curious. We have to be very careful what we put on our children because they actually have this need to want to make sure we're okay. Mm. And they learn funky coping strategies that go well into their adulthood, and they end up in our therapy offices having to recover from that. So I have that.
Yeah, I grew up taking care of my mom and her needs.
And I was,
you don't want that.
Yeah, we don't want that. So thinking about that in a practical way, especially with mom daughters, sometimes even I just sat with a coaching client yesterday. She was talking about when her parents went through a divorce, she was her dad's friend who he processed with her. So it's not just a mom's issue. I think it's more the verbal processor parent who maybe hasn't found their own friends outside, but knowing when's it appropriate to put on this with our kids and say, hey, the reality is mom and dad are stressed with finances right now. Things are tight, but just know he's working. Mom and dad got this. We're going to take care of this. And if you don't got it, you don't like melt down on your kid. They need that sense of security so that they can do their up and down. You know, I don't know what God's holding on his shoulders.
the whole world and all their needs.
Yeah, and that's the good news is he doesn't put that on me. He doesn't put it on me. And so that's part of the challenge for us as parents in learning how to be more mature and the adult in the relationship. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really important piece. So don't take it personal. And when our kids are melting down or they're being their attitudes, so teenage girls, there's hormones and it starts about age 10, sometimes earlier 9, we start to see the shift and we go, ooh, something's changing in them. And then they start to get really annoyed at certain times of the month. Mm-hmm. Don't bite back at that. Don't be like, what's your problem? Don't say, are you PMSing? Don't say those things, but recognize that they need a consistent parent who says, I love you, I'm with you. And when you're ready to talk, I'm here.
Yeah. And I think this was really helpful for me. You gave this to me that taught me about effective listening. And so when the thermometer in our girls, the temperature was up or down or whatever it would be, and I could see that they needed something. They needed attention. They needed somebody to be present with them. They needed somebody to help just make them feel loved and seen. I would use this active listening as a way. I didn't want to make things worse. A lot of dads always are just like, I'm not going to say anything because I just don't want to make anything worse. And actually, that is making things worse many times. So to have something, a target to aim for that is actually proven to make things better was super helpful for me to turn towards my daughters and realize that, okay, here's what will be better when you do this. And it's to mirror, to validate, and to empathize with them. So when I would see the swings happening, and it can happen in any given day and multiple times in a day, it's to mirror. So ask the question and really mirror back what they said. No interpretation there, but it's just to say, is this what you said? Did I get it? Everybody loves to feel heard and understood no matter what it is. And then to validate. And that doesn't mean you agree with what their perspective is. I mean, in fact, I may many times absolutely would have never done what they did or seen it the way that they're seeing it. But that's not the point. The point is that in validating, putting on their glasses, can I see how they got to where they arrived at?
From their perspective.
And what I'm doing, what this does is as their temperature was high, let's just say, or it was really low, it's actually coming down or kind of coming back to more of a balance. It's a grounding. I'm actually neurologically helping calm their brain and their body. And as a dad, that's a loving thing to do. And then the last is to empathize. And if I can feel anything that they feel in terms of identification with what they're feeling, say, I can see, I can see why I validated that why you would be angry. You're angry right now. And I can see why you would be angry. And I'm kind of angry about what happened too. Mm-hmm. You're joining them in that. And this is a way of hitting the mark with my girls. And I, you know, wanting to get better and better at doing that.
I love that. Thanks, Jeff. That was such a good reminder and something. And even feels calming to me as I hear you talk through that process. To give that space to our girls when it's the right time for them. We're so glad that our show has resonated with you as leaders in the home working community. And as you know, we're part of the Christian Parenting Podcast Network because we really believe that you parents are raising one of the most important organizations on the planet, your children, and the way that you live and lead matters. And one of our goals is helping you set aside perfection and being able to grow as that perfectly imperfect parent that God designed you to be. So if you're enjoying our podcast, I want to give you a new recommendation. You know that we've been spokespeople for the Christian Parenting Network for a long time, and they brought on a new executive director, Steph Thurling. She is amazing. We just spent some time with her in Texas when we were recording our Dear Matsons episode and the Helping Moms Raise Confident Daughters series. So she is going to be starting the Christian Parenting Podcast, and it is going to be exciting. Steph is a former youth pastor. She is the author of the book Raising Prayerful Kids, and she's a mom to three kids. I'm going to encourage you to listen to this episode every week, because Steph and her guests are going to be discussing practical tips and spiritual guidance for your parenting journey. You will leave encouraged, equipped, and ready to raise your kids to know and love Jesus. And I love this. She's going to start off each episode with this one question. What is the one thing you want every parent to know? So each of her guests are going to bring their own expertise to that question. You don't want to miss what everyone shares. So follow along wherever you listen to podcasts, and don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And as always, for more resources and encouragement for your parenting journey, head to the website at christianparenting.org. The next principle that I'm reminded of from Dr. Gary Landreth that we use actually in our leadership development, in our core values index trainings, is focus on the donut, not the hole. And we love donuts around our family. It's a tradition and a fun thing to go get donuts before church.
Shout out to Donut Land and Bassam at Donut Land. He's my friend.
They've known each other a long time.
Tualatin, Oregon.
Tualatin, Oregon. All right. We'll flood his Donut Land if you can and if you're around. Well, here's the deal. Focus on the donut, not the hole. So often we find ourselves correcting our children all the time. It's so tempting. And here's a little tip when it comes to girls. You're going to have either like a pleaser daughter who is going to figure out how to get your praise, and she'll be an overperformer and she will do what you want to do. So if dad, this is coming from you, she's going to be the star athlete. If that's what you want, she'll become that. If you want a student, she'll become that, but you're not going to get to know her, and she's going to grow up feeling a little hollow, not knowing who her she is as well. So you've got that pleaser side, and then you have the other daughter who's like, I want to be anything you want. Like, and she toughens herself. We call her the tough girl. Nothing is going to get to her heart. And so she just gets used to your criticism and your correction, and your opinion doesn't matter. So if you don't want either of those, there's a couple others that I would give, but I'll just say those are the side effects of when we just are always trying to correct our kids and make them something that maybe they're not, or we want them to be.
Focusing on the whole, what's missing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Versus grabbing on to who God designed them to be. He designed them to be a daughter. He designed them to be a girl. He designed them with hormones. He designed them with a changing, shapely body. He designed them with a personality. And he designed them with gifts and talents and a place. So focus in on that. Name those things and give words of affirmation. Call it out. And when you want to correct, be thoughtful of how you're doing that and when you're doing that, knowing that you're building trust with your daughter first, that she knows you're for her, you see her, and maybe here's a little feedback.
Yeah, the sprinkles, the color of frosting, all the things that make her unique and special and desirable. In terms of being chosen and that God built into her. And, you know, you've told me a long time ago, and I remember when we first were talking about marriage, we're talking about how women, they being chosen, like there's this image of a box of chocolates. And I remember that it was just like, there's this inside every woman, inside every girl, unique, is this desire to be chosen.
That's exactly right.
Am I remembering that right?
Good. Yes. Okay. And so you'll hear it in particularly women when they think about their husbands not choosing them over their jobs, mm-hmm. or choosing mm-hmm. them over their buddies, or choosing them over their in-laws.
Or their hobbies,
or choosing them even, not choosing them even over the kids. Sometimes mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. other parent might choose the children over the spouse. And that's more complex than just saying, choose your spouse. But there is a deep desire for women a little bit more than men. Men love to be chosen too, but in a different dynamic.
Yeah, it's totally different.
Yeah.
I remember just though speaking that into my girls when you taught me that, I started thinking about, you know, how am I choosing them? How do they feel? I want them as early as possible to know that I choose and prefer time with them over things like fly fishing, which I love, over my work,
yes.
Over a project that needs to be done around the house. And so I would show them that by saying, look, you're more important to me right now. And I And you cannot, I'm so thankful that that came earlier, because there's been a lot of deposits in that. Mm-hmm. And as we have that relationship and nurtured it over time, here we are in the teenage years, and everything that I was trying to deposit early is knowing that other people told me that when you get to the teenage years or other times when they're naturally and appropriately trying to find themselves, the individuation, the autonomy that they are, that the stage is bringing, it's so good. But that relationship, all those deposits make that healthy. And I'm not worried about losing them or losing connection as they're figuring themselves out. I get to be a part of supporting them. And they actually love the fact that they include me in the supporting process of them figuring themselves out. And that's been fun. It's paying off. Now, not perfect, but I'm telling you that I'm so glad we did that.
I love that. Well, I'm going to say something that comes from all the research out there. And you'll hear people like Dr. Kurt Thompson or Dr. Gary Landreth or Dr. Siegel. You'll hear all of these people speak to this. And it's because it's foundational in child development and what we're all working towards as adults trying to heal from when we didn't get it. But it's the need to feel seen. Mm. It's the need to feel secure.
Yeah.
It's the need for soothing. There's that word again we talked about last week, but it's comfort, to feel comfort. Mm-hmm. It's that need to be able to know that I'm not alone. And so if we think about that in parenting our daughter at the different stages of her life, when she's little, there's this thing that she does, and I'm speaking in generics here about a little girl, but she might draw a little picture and it's scribbly and it's like, you're like, oh. But she's coming up to you and she's going, do you see me? Do you see it? And instead of going, ah, and getting back to your email or getting back to cooking, you turn and you look at her in the eyes and you go, wow. And our temptation is to praise her at that moment for what she did. This isn't about her art. This is about her wanting to say, do you see me? Do you delight in me? And I turn and we look at her and you go, look, you did, you created something and you wanted to show mommy right now. And so we look at that art piece together and we awe and we ooh, and she shows me all the little colors and the squiggles. Maybe I don't understand fully what she's telling me, but we're delighting in it. And what that does is it is a deposit in the neural pathway of her brain that says, when I am turning toward my parent, they turn toward me. Mm-hmm. And they see me and they delight in me. Mm-hmm. So that would be a moment.
I feel safe, secure, seen, known.
Well, that would be a known. The next one might be when she is trying, when she's having nightmares and she's scared in her room. Do I dismiss and say, hey, there's no boogeyman under the bed?
Those
aren't real. What are you afraid of, right? Or is it I lay with her a little longer and we sing Jesus Loves Me and we do the check under the bed for the boogeyman. And we talk about the little light in her room and how that's the light of the Lord. And he's with her and he leads her. And mommy's right down the street.
And the darkness flees with light. Yeah.
Yeah. And mommy and daddy are right down the way. If you need us, we're here for you.
I think you said that mommy and daddy are right down the street. We're not down the street, down the way. That's fun. I know what you meant. Down the hallway.
Okay. Down the hallway. We're right over there.
Yeah.
But those are those moments of security droppings. And then the other piece is she's looking to see, am I beautiful? And that's that chosen piece. And so you'll see her in different ways, trying a little hairstyle, trying some clothes, maybe girls.
Makeup.
But even girls who are on the tomboy level will also, they still want to be noticed and seen as beautiful. So you're finding ways to spotlight that, to speak that in when they're 3, when they're 5, when they're 7, when they're 16.
Focusing on the donut.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Noticing. And it is less, you know, you were also very good at helping me to understand that it's less about commenting about what they do, although there's nothing wrong with commenting about what they do. Just making sure that more than commenting on what they do, we're connecting to who they are.
Yeah.
So I definitely put most of my energy in thinking about how can I, with this compliment I'm going to be making, how can I help hit those marks of them being seen, felt safe, soothed, or known.
Yeah.
Those underlying needs that are going to be like bullseyes, you know, for their whole lives. And that's, if you're hearing this and you're like, okay, that's what I need to be aiming for. Believe me, I was just so glad I found it too. And then it gives us something to take confidence in. And as guys, again, some of our tendencies would be, I just don't want to make anything worse. I mean, life is already hard enough. I don't need this or that. I don't know. When you actually, you would, you you would give your life for her, you know, your daughter. And so, but how are you doing this on the day-to-day basis? This is a way that you can do this, and you're going to love how it feels when you hit the mark with her more and more and more. And you see it because you see it in her countenance. You also see it with the words that she says, you know, hey, thank you, Daddy. Again, no one can take the place of your voice and your presence in her life, Dad. Just the same as equally as important as Mom's voice and her presence.
And we'll just end with this. Two things. You talk, it makes me think, okay, emotions. You hear me say this all the time. Mm-hmm. A courageous woman wrote a chapter on being courageous. She feels it to heal it. And it's because it's the counterintuitive to us wanting to fix emotions, wanting us to fix the problems that our girls are coming to us with, because we don't like it. It doesn't feel good to us. But actually, yeah. The reality is if you let her feel it and you're there and you comfort, or you give her the space and then you come back and check in, that is a way for helping her not be afraid of her emotions. And we don't get those weird side effects that are all connected to the being overly sexually active, eating disorders, drugs and alcohol, all the things that we're afraid of. Those are actually connected to not knowing how to process our emotions.
Getting needs met in unhealthy ways.
Yes. So the need is, I need to be able to be where I'm at, to feel what I feel. I'm disappointed. I'm angry. I'm sad. Move through it. And then I have to logically tell myself, emotion. It moves. Mm-hmm. So even though she might be feeling this way today, she's really mad at me and really doesn't like me. Watch what happens if I just give it a little time. It's like a choo-choo train. It's going to move. There's motion happening, but I also need to move toward her process. Ask, hey, do you want to talk about that? Do I need to ask forgiveness for something? Do we need to revisit what happened yesterday with your friend? But being able to recognize emotions change. Don't shut them down. If you clog it and say it's bad, we don't talk that way, we don't feel that way, go to a timeout and deal with it on your own. What are we teaching our girls? We're teaching them unhealthy coping strategies to say, you're all alone, you got to figure this out on your own. Mm-hmm. And that ripple effect is pretty hard.
Another good classic one is like, oh, no, don't cry. You know, it'll be happy. Let's be happy. Let's go do something fun, you know, and just
let's get ice cream.
Yeah, we're teaching them in that case that they can't, those emotions that God gave us, yeah. He gave us all the emotions, that's not welcome. And then that stuff, a child based on whatever age they are, they stuff that stuff down. They can't do that with that person anymore. Yeah, we don't want that because that leads to some funky stuff too.
It teaches kids to care for us as parents instead of us care for them. So we got to do our work, Mom and Dad. Yeah. So if you have a hard time with emotions, you know, you can do your own work and keep hang with us. That's what we're about. We're really about helping people process leaders so that we can do our work and not leak in unhealthy ways and get our needs met in unhealthy ways, especially from our children.
Yeah.
Okay. There's more we could talk about, but today we gave you two. Focus on the donut, not the hole, and be the thermostat, not the thermometer. And hopefully there's some tips here. Just grab one this week. Mm-hmm. Try one thing and then try it for maybe a month, because nothing works overnight. So recognize that your kids are also going to be catching up to whatever you're changing or shifting. So try one of these things this next month and see what happens. And I hope you keep with us and stay with us till next week. If people want to learn more about Living Wholehearted, where do they go?
Well, our website's the best place, livingwholehearted.com. You can find out all of our resources there, from our clinical services to our executive coaching and organizational development services, retreats. Sign up for our e-newsletter. That definitely is something we try to refresh every month with new content, meeting new people, things that we love, and resources that will help you in your journey. As a parent, in this case, you're leading the most important organization on the planet, the family unit, and how you live and lead matters. And so that's where I would go.
Yeah. And if you're raising a daughter and you're interested in Courageous Girls groups, then you can go to mycourageousgirls.com, learn all about that. You can also find our under resources, the Raising Confident Daughter courses that we do with Christian Parenting, and our Dear Matsons series. This is where we answer real parent questions from you, and we try to resource you in little short episodes.
And if you're a dad, I highly recommend reading Tara's book, actually, which is Courageous, Raising Daughters Rooted in Grace. Insights, especially if you're a dad of daughters. And your wife is a daughter, and so you can get a lot of insight into what your girls in your life.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This podcast is powered by Living Wholehearted, Courageous Girls, and the Christian Parenting Podcast Network. Thank you for joining us in this critical movement of shrinking our integrity gaps between what we preach and live.